You're listening to The Doug Haldeman Show on FM News Talk 97.1.
Welcome back. I'm your host, Doug Haldeman. And if you'd like to reach us on our off-air number, you can text or call us at 314-472-DOUG. Again, that's 314-472-DOUG, D-O-U-G, which is 3684. You also can visit us on our website at DougHaldeman.com, DougHaldeman.com. So I have a special guest in studio today. I wanted to invite in my good friend, Bill Bayer. Welcome to the studio, Bill.
Good to be with you.
So you have Lighthouse Growth Resources, and I love your blog. And as an economist, I just always love reading, you know, everything you write about the economy. That's why I wanted to have you in, is to get your take on what's going on out there. But first, let's give us a little bit of your background on just where you've been through your professional career.
Well, going way back, I spent the first 15 years of my career in the finance industry with Citicorp and other lenders. Good part of that in the mortgage industry. Made a decision in 1992 to get out of that industry, and
it's probably good timing.
It was good timing, and in fact, it was sort of a glimpse of what we ended up going through in 2007, 2008, 2009. I transitioned in 1992 through a series of steps, ultimately to becoming a consultant who, for the last 22 years, works with small businesses. And helps coach business owners, helps them with various issues. In conjunction with that, I've been a lifelong stock trader and investor, and so I pay a lot of attention to the economy. And about 5 years ago, I was asked to start doing a series of economic briefings, and that really got me to taking a harder look, and that evolved into the weekly emails and blog, and now I pay a pretty close attention to it and try to keep track of what's going on.
And if somebody wants to follow your blog, where do they go?
The easiest way is to go into my website, billbayer.net. And that's billbayer.net. And everything's on the blog.
If the economy and in business interest you, then I would highly encourage it. I love it every Monday when I get it. It's one of the things that I put on my list. And I'm on a reading diet where I try to limit how much I read just because there's just too much stuff that you get inundated with. And if it's made it, you know, past my reading diet, then it's probably pretty darn good.
Well, I appreciate it. It's not just about the economy. It's about personal things. It's about business, about family. But there's a lot in there about the economy and where we are with the markets and those things. But I appreciate your comments and your support.
Yeah, a lot of good life lessons there.
Thank you.
Okay, so let's jump into the economy. So we had the crash back in 2008, and we've been slowly recovering. It was a long bottom, looked like a U-shaped recovery. And, you know, it seems like we're climbing out of it, but what's your take on it?
Well, I look back, and starting about 2010, I coined the term the unrecovery, which I think really from 2010 to 2012, that's what we had. We had not a recession, but an economy that, even though the statistics said it was growing, for most people it felt like we were in a bad economy. Over the last couple of years, I think we're in a genuine recovery. And if we were 2 years from a recession, we'd be all very happy. The challenge is we think we should be in this robust economy, and we're not. So I'm optimistic about the economy, but the fact of the matter is our growth's going to be relatively slow, I believe, for a long time.
Yeah, it seems like two steps forward, one and a half steps back, where there's a little bit of progress, but, you know, it's not sustained.
I agree, absolutely. And susceptibility at any point in time to an event, a political event, to a debt crisis in Europe this past winter, to a harsh winter. Those kinds of things, because the economy is not really, really strong, have a bigger impact than what they would normally have.
Well, and even, you know, all the geopolitical stuff that goes on, how do you see Russia and everything that goes on with Ukraine, how could that affect our economy?
Well, I expected when this all started last spring that it was going to have a pretty significant effect. But one of the things I've learned over time is there's people out there a lot smarter than me. And when the markets do not react negatively to something they should react negatively, then it tells me it's not a big deal.
It's probably not a big deal because they love to react.
That's correct. So
they want to pass up a good opportunity for drama.
Absolutely. Essentially, this whole Ukrainian thing, the Crimean thing has happened, and nobody really cares.
Right. Their problem.
Yeah. And I think in retrospect, it's a local problem. It's an economic ploy by Russia, and it's a ego ploy by Putin, and he's smart enough to know as long as he does things incrementally, nobody's going to stop him. And I think he'll gradually take over Ukraine, and then he'll go to another country and do the same thing.
Right, especially where there's a lot of ethnic Russians.
Absolutely.
That they still seem to have a lot of loyalty to Russia.
That's correct.
And, boy, it's one of those things that we have our own problems, so it's nice to stay out of it sometimes.
Well, and there's no appetite, certainly in the United States and even less in Europe, to do anything there. So he's going to pretty well do what he wants to do as long as he does it slow and quietly.
Right. Okay, so outside of that, are there any – I mean, I know the geopolitical events that happen. Those are the things that you can't really predict what those are. And that's where somebody wants to, you know, really forecast what the economy is going to do. I like what you said a minute ago, is that, you know, those are curveballs that can get thrown in that could change what any type of forecaster is going to end, you know, where they're going to end up on things.
Yeah, and from a business and from an investment standpoint, I think the key is to be prepared to react when a curveball gets thrown. The biggest challenge that people have is when something like 2008 happens, is the average person is sort of frozen and afraid to act, and part of that is they're not prepared. One of the things that I work with my clients on is that we have a plan. If the economy goes bad, if sales go off 20%, we know what we're going to do. That applies whether you're looking at your personal investments. It should apply in terms of where you're at with your house and your mortgage,
right,
how much savings you have, those sort of things. You know, I have a definition of luck. Luck is when preparation meets opportunity. And if you're prepared, you end up being luckier than if you're not.
So let's say that again. Luck is when preparation meets opportunity?
Luck is when preparation meets opportunity.
I like that. That's a good term. And it's, you know, I think we all could use a little luck, but we can make a lot of our luck.
That's correct.
You know, by being prepared and being ready when that opportunity gets there. And you know, as you're advising businesses on having that plan B in place, I'm advising people on the personal side as a debt strategist. We're looking at people's finances and making sure they get on a written budget, making sure that they're prepared, that they're liquid. Yeah, you know, one of the biggest issues I see for people in their personal economy is, you know, they don't have any liquidity. And something hits, you know, it's either the downside that something hits and they can't afford it, or the upside is that there's an opportunity that they don't have any money to invest in because they haven't been conservative enough along the way.
Oh, I agree with you. That happens both with people putting too much in housing. Another place it happens is with the whole retirement thing. And one of the things I actually work with some of my clients on a more personal basis. One of the things I tell them is you need to have liquid assets outside of retirement accounts. It's very easy to be sucked into this trap where every dollar you save is in a retirement account. If you take it out, you pay a penalty. And so there needs to be balance in terms of how people save their money and how they invest their money.
I like that, and that's, you know, I have a formula that I always recommend to people, and you and I will have to compare notes on that to see if we're in general agreement, but my guess is that we are, because we seem to be on a lot of issues.
Yes, yeah.
Okay, so you started to touch on housing, and you know, what's your take on the housing recovery?
I think we're in a very good place in housing. I think that the housing market now is strong. I think the housing market is good. I chuckle sometimes when I look at the reports and the data and the commentary, because what the typical economist is doing, particularly those that are sponsored by the housing industry, is they're trying to compare housing today to the out of control markets of 2001 to 2005 or 6. And I would suggest, first of all, we don't want to get back to that. Second of all, we never will get back to that. There are reasons that occurred that fortunately are not there anymore. We need a solid growing housing market. I think I'd like to see housing starts move up maybe 20 or 30% from where they are, but we certainly don't want them to double or triple. And I hope that we get to a point where the resale market's a little stronger than what it seems to be. But overall, I think the housing market is solid and in a good place.
I agree with you, and I like the way that it's recovering, because in St. Louis, it's not, you know, it's kind of the Goldilocks housing recovery. It's not too hot, not too cold. And I don't want 15% appreciation.
Well, I absolutely agree with you. And interesting, I did some analysis a couple of weeks ago where I looked at not just the housing market but other data from the 90s compared to where we're at right now. And if you remember, the 90s was a very, very positive boom time for the stock market, for real estate, relatively low inflation. And believe it or not, there are a lot of commonalities between what was going on in the 90s and what's happening right now. And that's really good.
Yeah, that is good. If we can see that sustained recovery – that can give us nice appreciation over time. We don't want it too hot. Let's let people appreciate with their homes, but not think of their home as that piggy bank where they think that the house is going to appreciate so much that that's where their wealth is going to come from.
Absolutely. I think you can look at housing as a long-term savings account, but if you're looking at it as a long-term investment, you're going to be disappointed.
Okay, so Bill, if you have time to stick around, I want to talk a little more about housing, because there's been a dynamic of the increased square footage over time that we watched go on for a long time, and I think you have a really interesting take on where that came from and if that trend's going to continue. You're listening to Doug Haldeman Show on FM News Talk 97.1.